This is Bill Nowell, and I don't know if you got my message. I called several hours ago. And we were out. I'm calling from Boston, and I basically write a lot of brief baseball biographies, specializing in the Red Sox. It's all volunteer work for a group called Sabre. I wonder if I could ask you a few questions.
No problem.
Okay, I know you were a teacher for a while, so
yeah.
You're probably used to that. Is this a good time, or would it be better to...
No, this is good, huh?
Okay. What I'll do is I'll send you a copy of this when I'm finished, and you can see if there's any errors or anything.
Okay.
Have you got an email address?
No.
Okay, I'll just put it in the mail then,
right.
I guess. Tell me what street address I could mail that to.
327...
Uh-huh.
Philadelphia Avenue.
Okay.
West Pittston.
Yep.
Pennsylvania 18643.
Great. It may be a week or two, but that'll give you a chance to look over and see if there's anything that I got wrong or something you'd like to add that wasn't in there that we didn't think about. I'll probably be working on this with another guy, an intern that's been working with me, a student, and he did a bunch of the research to start writing this up. It's probably be about 4 or 5 pages when we're all done. I've done a couple hundred of these already myself. Now, you were born in a coal mining area?
Yes.
What kind of work was it that your father was named Andrew?
No, Michael.
Michael, your father was Michael, okay.
My uncle was Andrew.
I found you when I did some ancestry research there. So it was, did you live in Andrew's home or did you also live in Michael's home?
No, I lived with my pop and...
Yeah, okay.
Well, my pop was, he died when I was 9.
Well, that explains why I found in the census, I guess, that at one time you were living with Andrew. Well, tell me about your own father. His name was Michael DeLiba. And what kind of work did he do?
He worked in the mines like everybody else in them days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He died when he was 50.
Yep, yep.
He already worked 40 years in the mines. He was a slate picker when he was a kid at 9 years old.
Yeah.
That's what they did. That's where they killed him.
Right.
With all that dust and everything.
Yep. Your mother?
My mother was just a snow Pollock.
What was her name?
Karchevsky. Mary.
Okay, Mary.
Her maiden name was Karchevsky. My father was Russian. My mother was Polish.
Were they both born in those countries or just ancestors?
My father was.
He was born in what's now Russia?
Yeah, well, White Russia.
That
was when they had...
Belarus today?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the borders keep shifting all over the place.
Yes.
But, did you ever speak either of those kind of languages growing up?
I took Polish when I was in high school.
Oh, okay. So there was a lot of Polish folks in the area.
It was Polish, Russian, Lithuanian, all the ethnic groups Eastern Europe.
Yeah. And when your father died, you moved in with your uncle then?
No, we were always with my mom. My uncle, he was like the guardian of us. We needed anything, he worked in the mines, he lost a leg, he was a boss, he was the head man, he was a good guy.
After he lost his leg, did he lose that while he was...
No, he worked in the mines.
Yeah.
And died in the mines just like my father did.
Yeah. He literally died in the mines himself?
Oh, no.
Of coal mines. Okay.
From the mines.
And you have brothers?
Black lung, yeah.
Brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got two brothers.
Yep.
My older one, Mike, he's dead.
Yeah.
I have a younger one, Danny. He's down in Tennessee, and he's not doing too good.
Huh.
And I had a sister who was mentally challenged, and she's dead. So I'm the last of the last healthy one alive.
Right. What spurred your interest in baseball itself, as far as best you can remember?
You know, I was a football player.
Okay.
You know, everybody played football around here in, you know, northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I didn't go out for baseball until I was a senior.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody, all summer long, I'd be throwing and throwing, and nobody could hear me. And where are you going? I just didn't have time. I was always working. I always went trying to make 50 cents in them days. You know, taking ashes out from all the houses and stuff like that. So,
but you didn't go to work in the coal mines at age 9, I guess.
No. I never got the opportunity.
Yeah, just as well.
Close, but
yep.
No.
So you did what you could to raise money for the family.
We all worked.
Sure.
Did something.
Yep. Now, and when you said as a senior, you mean a senior in high school?
Yes.
That's when you first played baseball. I read someplace that you got a number of letters when you're in high school for different sports.
Oh, yeah, I was a good one.
Yeah?
I was fast.
Basketball, football, baseball?
Right.
All three?
Yes.
Maybe 10 letters in all? That's what I read someplace, but it might not be right.
Probably 7.
Yeah, okay, it doesn't matter that much. But I did hear that there was one particular game you struck out an awful lot of people and impressed a scout from, I guess, the Cardinals organization.
Listen, the most fortunate thing that ever happened to me was we didn't have a lot of money, and it was the senior class trip, and our seniors always went to Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the cost of the thing, you know, they took a school bus and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I didn't go. And since I didn't go, I was the only pitcher left because everybody else went.
Right.
So, and I pitched against, in that days, Nanny Coke, who was our big rival.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember Steve Vilko, that's where Steve Vilko was from.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he was already gone by the time I got there, though.
Yeah.
And it was one of those cold, very cold, you know, 35, 40 degree days with snow flurries, and me throwing 90 miles an hour and didn't know where it was going. And I struck out 18 out of 21.
Mm-hmm.
And Pop Kelchner,
yeah,
and Breckenridge were two of the old-time Cardinal scouts, and they were both there.
Okay.
They weren't there to watch me. They were there to watch our center fielder. He was a pretty good ball player.
Yeah.
Who eventually signed with the Phillies. And
what was his name?
Ken Wilgoss.
Okay.
And then we crossed paths in the minor leagues. I was in Peoria, and he was in Terre Haute, Indiana. And that's how it started. And after the game, they come and start talking, and lo and behold, my coach was a very good baseball man, and he just said, I don't know, do whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really give me a lot of guidance because of that time. And then, you know, in them days, they used to send you to somewhere, and they sent me to Ozark, Alabama.
Yeah.
And that was the start.
Now, I read a couple of stories that said you struck out 19 batters, and another one that said you struck out 20 in the 7-inning game, but your recollection is 18.
Well, I don't have good recollection because everybody tells me it was 19.
Yeah, well, I've seen those different figures, but you struck out almost everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And then when you went to Ozark, they won the pennant that year, right?
Yes, they did. We had two guys, a guy by the name of Harris and a guy by the name of Ortiz. One guy won 27 and one guy won 24.
Hmm, yeah.
And I won 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chase Riddle was our manager.
Yes, yeah, okay.
And he was an old Cardinal guy.
But then you went on next to, and you won the pennant again the next year with St. Joseph.
Yep.
That's what I saw.
St. Joseph in the Western Association.
Yeah.
Well, that's when I pitched mostly. Pitched mostly in relief that year.
Uh-huh. You had a 12-3 record, though, which
yep.
is pretty good. Yes, I see you started 8 games, but you pitched in 43 of them.
Yeah, I pitched mostly in relief.
Yep. And then you kept on moving up. You know, I don't mean to necessarily stop at every step along the way, but when you went in the Marine Corps, that was, were you, what prompted you to join them?
I was getting my ass kicked.
Okay.
I wasn't doing very well, and I came home, and I just looked at my mother, and I said, I think I'm going to go into service. So I joined the Marine Corps.
Yep.
Best thing I ever did.
Tell me about that. You pitched a lot of baseball in the Marines, I guess.
Oh, that's all I did. That's 3 years, 2 years at Parris Island.
Yep.
And a year in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. In Parris Island, we played 140, 150 games.
Wow.
We played anybody, everybody. We'd go anybody. We had them come to our place early in the year. And when the colleges were in, their spring training, we had everybody. We had Michigan and Michigan State and Duke and Ohio State. We had everybody come and play at Parris Island.
Now, I saw another thing that said you won 51 games and lost 7 over the 3 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easily.
Pretty impressive record.
That's what I said. I said the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
Was service.
It's a good thing you didn't go in 4 years earlier, though.
No, you're right.
You would have been in Korea.
Yeah. There was nothing going on when I was there.
Yeah, and that was a good time in that sense, yeah. Then you were older and wiser, I guess, and came back to Omaha.
Yeah, well, when I got out, I went to spring training with Omaha, and Joe Schultz was the manager.
Yeah, yeah.
And in them days, they used to take guys from the minor leagues and take them to St. Pete to throw batting practice for the major leaguers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day, Joe come to me and said, he was all pissed off, he said, because I was pitching very well. And he said, they want you to come down. But I was a very, very, very poor batting practice pitcher. My ball moved so much that I didn't have any idea. And the first guy I faced was Kenny Boyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept telling me to throw the ball straight. And I said, that's just what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They sent me right back to Daytona. But that stayed in the back of their mind, though.
Yep.
They remembered it. And then I went to Omaha, and I started the season, and Gibson was there, too.
Yeah.
And we were both 8-5. We were both starting. And then Joe called in the office, and he says, well, they want you to pitch out of the bullpen. I said, no, I'm not. And we haggled around for a while. He said, well, this is a big opportunity. And I'll be damned, a month later, I was in the big leagues.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. What year was that? The same? I don't know what Gibson. What year he first came up? Was that the same time
he came up? The same year he came up. Yeah.
Yeah.
59.
Yep. And Omaha actually won the Western Division that year, but you were gone by that time.
Yeah,
you were up in St. Louis.
And so was Gibson.
Yeah.
They had a very good team. So.
Yeah. The then you spent the next year. I guess you were up for good in 1960.
Yeah, I come up 59-60, I was up for good.
Yeah, now there was a story I heard. I don't know if it's something you might probably not like to remember, but you were in a major automobile accident then?
Yes, I was. All-star break of 1960.
Well, if you don't mind, what happened then?
Well, I was going to Ray Sadecki's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And right outside of Columbia, Missouri, it started raining real heavy, and we slid and went into the other lane, and we got hit by another car.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and then I got banged up. I had broken ribs all up and down my right side, and that ended it for that year.
Right. I guess they were friends of yours that died in the accident, too, I guess, right?
Well,
or would it be?
It was friends of Sadecki's.
Yeah.
From Kansas City that I was bringing.
Yeah.
Bringing with me back to,
right,
to the wedding.
And so you basically, it was your right side, it didn't damage your arm in the long run, I guess.
No, not my arm, just the ribs on the right side.
Yeah. You spent the next year back in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Kind of combined with San Juan.
Oh, geez, I was all over the place.
Yeah.
We started out in San Juan and then came back to Charleston, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the International League.
Right. All relief work then, pretty much,
yes,
too.
Yes.
You know, exclusively, yeah. And then came back up to St. Louis.
Right.
In 62.
Right.
Although you spent, I guess, most of the season in Atlanta.
Right.
Right. And then came back up. And then you eventually you got traded to the Angels.
I got traded to the Angels, right.
And I guess you rejoined Bill Rigney there?
Well, they sent me to Hawaii, and then about, I don't know, in August, they called me back up.
Because hadn't Rigney managed you in an earlier stage?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought he had managed you in at one point there. Okay, well.
He was always on the coast. I was with the St. Louis organization, so it was totally different.
Right, okay.
Johnny Keene was with us, and then he got to the big league, and I got traded. When he got to the big leagues, I got traded.
Yeah, and you had a very busy year in 64, got into 58 games that year, I guess, and I guess 63 you split between Hawaii and the Angels, yeah.
Right, right.
Then you came to the Red Sox, which is
right.
What got my attention. And I guess you just came here. I saw you on the field. I saw you and 212 other Red Sox players on the field there. But I remember seeing them introduce you at that point. And how was that as an experience?
Oh, it was awesome. I had my younger boy with me,
mm-hmm.
And he was beside himself. You know, we walked around the field, and he put dirt in his pocket.
Yeah,
just stuff like that. It was that, I'll tell you what, they treated us royally.
Mm-hmm.
They treated us like big leaguers, I guess, get treated today, because we didn't get treated like that when I was in the big leagues.
You didn't have a minimum salary of $400,000 a year?
Yeah, I was just explaining something to somebody today. I said,
minimum wage.
In 1989, when I come up, I got $8,500.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, today, if you come up, you get over $400,000.
That's minimum wage.
Yes, that's the minimum.
Right.
I said, and we got $8 a day meal money.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when my first wife, she came down to see me when we came to Philadelphia. And we went down, we stayed at the Warwick Hotel, and we had breakfast. And the bill came to $21.
Wow.
In the Warwick Hotel, and I was making $8 a day meal money.
Right.
It was tough.
Yep. You when did you first get married?
I got married my first wife in 1959.
In 59?
Yeah, the first I met was married to her for 25 years.
Yep.
We didn't have any children.
Oh, okay.
And then we parted, and I got married again, and now I got two boys. One will be 25 in January, and the other one's 23.
Oh, okay. Was it the younger one that came with you to Boston?
Or? Yes.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah, I've got a son who's 21 myself, so they're kind of the same age. When you came to Boston, it wasn't the best of seasons. Billy Herman was the manager.
Yeah, we were kind of low.
They had precisely the same record as the 2012 Red Sox, though.
Yep, exactly.
As it turns out. So
we had some good, you know, with Petrocelli was just there as a rookie. And
oh, yeah.
Yaz was there, and Raddatz was there.
Oh, yeah, a lot of good components and all. But
I don't know why we never really won.
Was Billy Herman even around most of the time? I had the impression he just spent time playing golf.
No, he was around.
Yeah.
He wasn't very outgoing, though.
You began to develop a knuckleball around that time?
Yeah, they sent me down to rookie league down in winter ball to work on my knuckleball.
Is that something you'd always had? A little bit?
Yeah, I always threw it, you know, nothing basically. But then one day they see me warming up on the side, and I was throwing some knuckleballs, and all of a sudden now that was the big thing. And they had Hoyt Wilhelm talk to me and show me and, you know, explain what to do and everything. And I guess they thought that that was a big thing. But I didn't have a big enough hand, I don't think, to really be good at knuckleball.
Well, it seems to come and go. It's in fashion again right now, of course.
Oh, it is, sure, when you got that guy like that throwing it.
Yeah.
He throws it so hard, though.
Jeez. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's very good.
I guess you won four straight games at one point there.
Yes.
And
I was all right. I I'm only 5'10", so
yep.
I'm not the most imposing person, you know. So I think that sometimes they wonder, you know, could we find somebody else bigger and stronger? And I always took pride in the way I threw the ball, though. I was always pretty good.
You kept up the speed. You mentioned maybe throwing as much as 90 miles an hour even in high school there.
Oh, yeah. I threw the ball well. I always threw the ball well.
Yeah. A brief stop in Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah.
And then several more years after that, I guess about four more years after that, in Vancouver and Iowa and Richmond.
I was all over. And then Oakland, Charlie brought me up to give me another 29 days so I could be eligible for the pension, you know.
Oh, great. So that,
yeah, he was a good lad.
Because I don't see you actually pitched for them at all. You were on the roster.
All I did was throw batting practice.
I see.
He brought me there. I think I needed 29 days or so.
Finley?
Yeah.
What prompted him to do that?
Well, because...
He's nice.
I don't know.
Because he was a nice guy?
Probably. One day we were at his farm in Illinois when we went to play the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And, he came in, I was in the barn or somebody, we were talking about things, and he just said, if only I could do anything for you. And it was so funny, I was all set, I had my truck all ready to go fishing. And my mother-in-law came out and said, Charlie Finley's on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Bob, you need 29 days.
He told you that?
Yeah. I'm going to give you your 29 days, but you got to be on the... We got you all our reservations out of New York, but you got to be on the bench tonight to be eligible. We just can't put you on the roster. You got to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
So there I was, flying out. He treated me well.
He has an opposite reputation of being somebody that pinched pennies too much and stuff.
Yeah, he was a good man.
So you were literally working on a farm at one point there, you said.
What do you mean?
You said you were working on the farm.
No.
For a farm club.
Yeah, I was on the farm.
Okay, because when you started talking about you're out, you know, on the truck and stuff like that, I had this image of you, you know, building fences for him or something.
I was in the minor leagues, right?
Yeah.
Well, up in Vancouver, and then I pitched well, and he always kept it in the back of his, I guess they brought me up when I was in Kansas City for a while, and then he knew I needed days, and he says, if I ever can do that. And he did. He come through with it.
So that's still paying off for you 40 years later.
Yes, it is.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I saw at one point you were named, it was in 1967, in that period when you were in Vancouver, that you were named the most inspirational player. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Who were you inspiring, or what kind of inspiration?
Well, let's see. I don't know what the hell. I had a hell of a year that year. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always, I'll tell you what, I always did my work, never said anything, ran more than anybody, did everything more than any. If they tell you to run 20, I'd run 40.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I made it, you know, wherever I went.
Hard work.
So it was hard work, and it was inspirational, I guess.
Yeah, well, that would be, sure. So you had, then near the end, you had some back issues of one kind or another?
Oh, geez, I had
that kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't young, but you were, you know, 36, 37, I guess.
Yes.
Stuff. And usually you see these things where people ask this kind of question, so I'll ask you what your memories of the thing that was your biggest thrill in your career, what one or two things that just you really remember.
Well, I remember my first time walking out to the mound in St. Louis, and Willie Mays was the hitter.
Mm, yeah.
And we had a catcher by the name of Hal Smith. He was from Arkansas. Real funny. And all he said was, don't worry about a thing. This guy doesn't have a thing. He just walked back. And I probably threw two on the black on the outside corner for strikes, jammed them, and he hit a little ground ball to second base.
Oh, okay.
And until this day, I can't remember my foot ever bouncing around so much on the rubber. I just couldn't keep it steady. I was so nervous.
Sure.
Yeah. Little things like that.
Right. You got one base hit, I guess.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was off Colfax.
Colfax, really? Okay.
Well, that was before Colfax was Colfax.
Well, okay.
I think I came in the game, it might have been the second inning or the third inning. And we, you know, in them days it wasn't like today. You know, when you come in and you were the long man, you stayed in for a while until...
Right.
And I came up to hit. And I don't know if we were one run up or one run down, but I had the bunt sign on and I swung and it went down the right field line. And only got a single, and got fined.
So yeah, I was going to ask you, did you get hit?
Oh, yeah, Sully Hemus fined me, but he paid for it because that was my first hit and my first major league win.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got the third base, and the bases were loaded, and they took Colfax out and brought Larry Sherry in.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny Boyer hit a grand slam home run.
Wow.
I don't know how many innings I pitched that game. I remember I think I threw like 70 or 80 pitches, so I might have went 5 or 6 innings. And, yeah, I got everything in the same game.
So who gave you the nickname Ock?
Whitey Karowski.
Oh, okay. I thought he was your manager at one point there, I guess.
Yeah, in Peoria, Illinois.
Yep.
Yeah, he started calling me Ock. I don't know why. He just Ock Oliva.
Yeah. Well, I remember around that time, I used to, I mean, I'm a little bit younger than you, I'm 67, and I used to read those Black Hawk comic books,
uh-huh.
And they always had somebody saying that in the comic books. But
yeah, that's stuck from that day on, everybody, that's still till today.
Is it a name that a lot of people use then?
Yes, I guess. It was big. I don't know why, but it was big.
Well, I kind of like it.
And it just went perfect with my name.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like it. When you were up here at Fenway, did anybody call you by that name?
Oh, sure. All the guys that know me.
Oh, okay, good. So,
everybody, because as a matter of fact, Louis Tiant come up to me.
Yeah.
Ocalipa. Because he heard somebody say Oc, and
yeah.
Me and him were pretty tight when he came to us. That was my last year, I think. We were down in Richmond,
mm-hmm.
And they brought him on. I know he got released by Cleveland, I think, released him.
He was with, yeah, Cleveland and Boston both there at one time or another, yeah.
Well, somebody released him, and he came to us. And I need to tell you, for 4 games, the only 4 games he pitched, he pitched 4 complete games, and I mean, nobody had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And all I said to him was, won't be long. You're not going to be here much longer.
Yeah.
And then that's when the Red Sox grabbed him.
Right.
And he went out to do some pretty good things.
Yeah, he sure did. He's still up here. He lives in this area, too.
I know. What's funny is my boy, when he come over, he said, it's my boy. And then after he left, he says, Dad, he's smaller than you.
Yeah.
Because he's not very imposing, you know?
No, not at all.
Oh, but he was something, boy.
Yeah. Well, you pitched on 176 major league games, so that's no small accomplishment. Yeah, that's pretty good. You went on to tell me what you did then after you finished baseball.
Well, when I quit in Richmond, I came home and I had a friend that played in professional ball, and he was coaching at the Wilkes College,
mm-hmm.
In Wilkes-Barre. And he was the one. I had the GI Bill because I was in the service.
Yep.
And and at that time, college wasn't expensive like it is today. So I went to college.
Mm-hmm.
Coached with him. I was his assistant there for a couple of years. As a matter of fact, we went to the National Division III Finals 1 year. We had a good program going. And when I finished college, I went to teach it right here where I live at Wyoming Area High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually coached there, and Then went back to Wilkes, and I think I stayed at Wilkes until, sometime almost the year 2000.
Did you ever complete a college degree?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why I got a teaching.
Yep. And you taught, what subject did you teach? Was it all athletics, or did you teach other subjects?
I was the history.
History, okay.
Yes. I loved history.
High school history.
Yes.
Yep.
And then I went back to Wilkes, did that, and when I finished with that, that was it.
So you was in high school you taught, and you coached at the university.
Well.
Or did you teach some at the university, too?
Yeah, I coached at the high school, and then I quit the high school after 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to Wilkes as the coach. As the head coach.
Yeah.
And like I said, I stayed there from, let's see, 86 until almost the year 2000.
And then retired.
I'm still working.
What kind of work do you do now?
I work at the market. I stock shelves a couple days a week, and I do deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't retire. Great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd kill myself or something.
Yeah.
I work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to keep active.
No, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off.
Yeah.
And I'm busy.
And you see, at one point you got remarried again, and you had two children.
Yes.
With your new new marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a son, Robert Jr. and Andrew.
Andrew named after your uncle.
Yep.
And I guess, yeah. Well, okay. Anything else that I should have asked you that I didn't, maybe?
I can't think.
Anything come to mind that you're waiting for me to ask that question or whatever? I don't know.
Listen, I have to put up with the kids every day, questions about. But the thing is, I stump them because they don't know any of the guys that I played with or against,
Yeah.
And I just look at them and I shake my head and I say, you guys don't even know what baseball's all about.
Mm-hmm.
I say, all you can know is guys making a lot of money. Well, we didn't make a lot of money. As a matter of fact, I was down to the VA today. I had to go ahead and look away. And I was talking to a doctor from India, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was fairly knowledgeable. And matter of fact, he had a friend that was a real good guy. He was trying to call him on the phone, but we could never get him. And then he went, because everybody thinks that because you played in the big leagues, you made a lot of money.
Right.
I looked at him and I says, how much? He says, well, isn't the minimum today $400,000 or $500,000? I said, yeah, when I was there, the minimum was $7,500.
Mm.
He goes, he looks at me and says, get out.
Yeah, well, see,
it's it.
I asked them what people in India were making in 1960, 70.
Oh, yeah,
70,
well, they're, still, you know. They're probably not making that now.
Right. Well, listen, I enjoyed speaking with you.
I'm happy. I got the call, and they were telling me somebody was going to call me.
Yeah, I figured I'd just call again tonight and see if I can catch you at a good time. But what I'll do is this friend, Paul Russo, and I will try to write something up together and mail it to the address you gave me, and you can let us know if we spelled something wrong or missed out on something or whatever.
Very good.
And then you can give us a grade on our history paper.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.